Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she says concerning the sunnah of the Prophet for the Fajr prayer, that he used to pray his sunnah so quickly that I used to wonder whether he even recited anything in that sunnah. So subhanAllah, it's teaching you inherently that this is built into the deen, that when you wake up for the Fajr prayer, you should remember Allah, make wudu, and then don't miss the sunnah. People miss the sunnah, they rush to pray the Fajr so they can get back into bed, they wasted their own effort because they did not untie the knot. And I'll tell you, the other mistake people make is they wake up for tahajjud, and they say, whoa, I got up for tahajjud, let's make this one a good one. So then they start praying, and they're alhamdulillah, they're going on and on and on, but they're putting themselves to sleep because they didn't untie the third knot. So the sunnah is to untie that third knot, okay? So knot one, two, and three need to be untied. So it's not only enough to figure out how to get yourself into bed, you also have to know how to get yourself out of bed. So this is point number seven. And point number eight is my last point, and that is that as part of sleep, you have to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created sleep for rest. And that part of that rest is that you have to recognize, so basically, here's the point. Sleep is created, and sleep is created to suck rest out of it. It's not created to lay in bed. It's created to suck rest out of it. Now, how are you going to suck rest out of it? Is you're going to sleep at the times that Allah has provided rest in one sleep. And those are two. Number one, in the night. Okay? And number two, right before or right after the Dhuhr prayer. So this is called the qaylula, the nap that an individual takes either before or after the Dhuhr prayer. And this is essential for an individual to succeed in getting rest in the day. So, the time we should be sleeping is we should go to sleep at night, wake up for the Fajr prayer, and then stay up till at least the sun rise. Because in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-subhatu tamna'u ar-risk." That sleeping after the Fajr prayer, it prohibits an individual from getting their risk. They don't get the full benefit from the day. So, for sure, up until the sun rises, because that's what the subhatu means, sleeping before the sun rises, we should be awake. And that's a great time for dhikr, it's a great time to worship Allah, it's a time when you're fresh and you've started a new life, so why not start your new life on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Fajr prayer is very important for making dhikr and spending time in the masjid. Anyway, then what happens is you're awake, if you really have to sleep after the sun rises. But it's best not to sleep at all. Stay awake, work, do what you have to do. If you have to get up and you're feeling sleepy, get up and go do some physical labor. And stay awake until right before the Dhuhr prayer, or in our cases in this day and age, I'd say right after the Dhuhr prayer. Right after the Dhuhr prayer, go back and lie down. And lie down just for about half an hour. And what's going to happen is your life will become like two lives. Because you'll wake up in the morning and you'll do one day's worth of work up until Dhuhr, and then you'll wake up after Dhuhr and you'll do one day's worth of work up until the night. And subhanAllah, I'll tell you that when I went to study, when I went abroad in Pakistan to study the deen, this is the exact schedule we used to live on. And I'll tell you, I have studied in two very extreme places in my life. I've studied in the extremity of the dunya, meaning in medical school. Okay? And when I studied in medical school, at my medical school, they built a $100 million building for 400 medical students. Okay? This is called focused medical education. All right, and I studied in that environment, and obviously that's one of the pinnacles of the knowledge of this day, and people put a tremendous amount of emphasis on developing you within that 4-year period. And the other environment that I've studied in is basically in the religious institution in Pakistan. Now in that institution, there's no $70 million building, there's no $70 building. Okay? Basically, you know, these videos, they take a video and they say if you give $1, you can feed these people for 1 month. That's the type of place that was. But I'll tell you that what I achieved in that institution in Pakistan far superseded what I achieved in my medical school in the same period of time. And that's because everybody in that school lived on this schedule. We stayed up, we woke up in the morning before the Fajr prayer. And we worked. We were passing out at Dhuhr prayer. Literally, you'd be passing out. But we did a full day's worth of work. And then we'd take a nap, and you'd sleep 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You'd sleep so hard that you didn't know where you were when you woke up. But then you'd get up, and it would be tough to get up. You'd feel like somebody really ripped your soul from your body. But after a few minutes, you'd wake up, you'd go make wudu, you'd pray the sunnah of the dhuhr prayer, okay? And then you'd be wide awake. And then you're fresh, and then you studied all the way until after the Isha prayer. So my one day became 2 days. Because I did 8 hours worth of work, took a nap, did another 8 hours worth of work, went to bed. And subhanAllah, in that 2 year period, I just am shocked and blown away by what I achieved. You know, I have my notebooks from that period of time. And I was writing notes for what I, you know, for my classes. And I looked at, I wrote a whole book of grammar in 30 days. Because I wrote the day that I began, and I wrote the day that I ended. So it's like 9/30/1999. The 9/1/1999, 9/30/1999, I wrote the last page. That 127 book of grammar, page book of grammar that I wrote for myself, just as a review, I would not be able to write that book again in 6 years. And I've been trying to, and I haven't been able to in 6 years. So that was the barakah of the environment, of the sunnah, and the barakah of that schedule. So of course for us it's very important because we carry dual responsibility. Here we are, a group of people trying to succeed in this life. And here we are, a group of people trying to establish the deen. That's a big weight. That's a big weight that we carry on our backs. And in order to do it and be successful, we're going to have to be people who work extremely hard. You got to excel in your professions because that's going to protect you in the sunnah. You can't walk around with the sunnah if you're the worst person at your work. The time when you can walk around with the sunnah, right, is when you are the best person and the whole team depends on you. When the whole team depends on you, that's when you can go for Jummah and nobody cares. You can go and pray Dhuhr and nobody's going to care because they know that you're the most productive individual. So for us, this is essential. So this is the important point, and that is that you have to sleep at the times of sleep so that you can bring barakah and rest out of that sleep. Okay, so basically that's all I wanted to say. It's almost, I think the time for the Isha prayer is 10:15. The adhan is going to be called in a couple of minutes. So I'm just going to review the points and then we'll leave the time for the adhan. People can go make wudu and then we'll pray the Isha prayer inshallah and then hopefully we'll all go to bed inshallah. Okay, so the first point is, number one, that every human being is composed of two parts, a body and a soul, and that it's the soul, it's the body that requires sleep, not the soul. So if you inherently elevate the soul and you inherently suppress the body by following the Sharia, you will create within you a circumstance where your need for sleep will decrease. Point number two. Point number two is that while your need for sleep will decrease, it will not absolutely abate. You will always require some degree of sleep. And so therefore, in order to increase the barakah in your sleep, you should bring the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your sleep. And bring the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of waking up. So we should never ever leave the dua at the time of sleeping, the dua at the time of waking, and remember to recite your qul, your three quls, and blow on yourself before you go to bed. Point number three. And that is that sleep is a time to reflect on the blessings of Allah. And so like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, thank Allah for all the blessings that he bestowed upon you, and inshallah through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you more. Point number four. Is that sleep is an opportunity to remember death. Sleep is a sister of death. Every time you go to bed, you are thinking about what you did the whole day because you're dying and you technically think about being presented before Allah. And when you wake up, think about your life as a new life and a new opportunity to please Allah. Point number five. And that is when an individual goes to sleep, they leave themselves vulnerable. Their soul is detached from their body. They're not alert. And so therefore the Prophet alayhi salam taught us to protect ourselves. By number one, dusting the bed before we go to sleep. Number two, extinguishing all lamps and lights. Number three, extinguishing any fire that may be in the home. Number four, covering all vessels. And number five, locking all doors. And if you do this, great, but just make the niyyah that you're doing it because of the sunnah in order to receive the reward of doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number six, and that is the night is for sleep. So we should make sure that it's during the night that we sleep and not during the day. All right? And then finally, point number seven, is that we should remember that not only does it take an understanding to enter into sleep, but there's also an understanding of how to exit from sleep. And the three ways by which we exit from sleep to remove the knots that shaitan ties at the time of sleep. Number one, take the name of Allah when you wake up. Number two, make wudu. And number three, pray two quick rak'ahs. And the final point was to remember that sleep is maximally providing of rest at the times when it was designed to provide rest. And when was it designed to provide rest? Number one, at the night. And number two, right around the Dhuhr prayer time. So these two times, if an individual sleeps at night and takes a short nap at dhuhr, they will be able to provide themselves with ample rest such that they will become extremely productive throughout their waking time. So anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take advantage of these points, to be among those who derive maximum benefit from their sleep so that we can maximally produce in this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who wake up from their final sleep to a infinite reward in the hereafter. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.